Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hi, I've been asked by one of my disciples, Tapan Mishra Prabhu, to, on behalf of the Ministry of Education of the GBC, speak on the importance of reading Srila Prabhupada's books, which I'm happy to do. I've done many times. I'm happy to do again. Specifically for the upcoming Shravanam week, which the Ministry of Education, largely inspired by Tapan Mishra Prabhu, is promoting, with the idea that leaders should emphasize the importance of reading Srila Prabhupada's books. As far as the Shravanam week is concerned, I can understand why it's being organized, because there is a perceived problem of the reading of Srila Prabhupada's books not being central to the lives or not being a regular habit of many devotees in our movement today. On the other hand, I feel it's unfortunate that it is felt that there is a need for it, as we're supposed to hear regularly, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nityam means regularly, constantly, or daily. So really, this idea of a Shravanam week, it's for those who don't have that habit. It's like this, what do they call it, the World Holy Name Day, and then they explain it to a week, but it's every day is supposed to be Holy Name Day. Every day is supposed to be hearing and reading day. These are supposed to be parts of our regular daily sadhana. It is an unfortunate situation that many devotees in our movement express opinions, but they literally don't know what they're talking about. If you don't read Srila Prabhupada's books and you want to give an opinion on matters pertaining to Srila Prabhupada's movement, then you literally don't know what you're talking about. We have to speak through, or see through the eye of Shastra and speak according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, which for us, at least at the most basic or the general level, we have Guru, Sadhu and Shastra and Srila Prabhupada's books. However, that's another topic. If there is some topics over which there may be disagreement, then we may have to, as Srila Prabhupada taught us and he himself did, refer to the broader corpus of Shastra and tradition. But as Srila Prabhupada stated, everything that we need to know to become fully Krishna conscious is in his books. As far as various subtle points of understanding, parts of Vedic culture or subtle points of philosophy, we may need to go to and consult other works, as Srila Prabhupada himself within his books and other media expressed. Many devotees take courses, Bhakti Shastra, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, at least Bhakti Shastra course, which is good, but it's not a substitute for reading Srila Prabhupada's books regularly. It's not the thing, now I did the Bhakti Shastra course and now I understood everything. And inevitably the Bhakti Shastra courses, because they summarize topics within Srila Prabhupada's books, they can reflect the biases of the educators or what the educators see fit to stress. For instance, I'm told that it's practically standard within Bhakti Shastra courses to not discuss certain points that can be considered controversial within Srila Prabhupada's books, which are, however, regular themes, such as many of Srila Prabhupada's statements. They occur repeatedly within Srila Prabhupada's books, including in the most seminal, we can say, Bhagavad Gita as it is, statements about the societal status of women. What to speak within Srila Prabhupada's books, that's also there. Within the text of the Bhagavad Gita itself, Mamhi Parthavya Parshritya Yepi Suf Papayoneha Striyo Vaishas Tatashu Drastepi Yanti Param Gatim. So in the very verse of the Bhagavad Gita, there is at least an insinuation that women, as well as Vaishyas and Shudras, are of an inferior status, but they nevertheless spiritually can attain all the full mercy of Krishna. But then, coming to the next verse, King Puna Brahmana Punya Bhakta Raja Shayastata Anityamasukam Lokam Imam Prapya Pajasvamam. Coming to the next verse, it's clearly that societally, those who are Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are in a higher position. Which, of course, is all to be understood in the context of Krishna's opening statements of Bhagavad Gita, in which he refers to the Dehi and the Dehina, the body and the possessor of the body. In other words, we're not Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, or women. So these can be controversial subjects. The status of women, Varnashram roles in particular. Early in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada cites that there are six kinds of aggressors who can be killed, which is also controversial in an age when there's a lot of push around the world to abolish capital punishment. So there are many controversial topics. And in the Bhakti Shastra courses, which are mandated within ISKCON today, these topics are not supposed to, especially the role of women. It's read and you just gloss over it. So what is implied by doing that is that either we don't agree with what Srila Prabhupada says or we're embarrassed by it. We'd rather not discuss it because it will evoke controversy. So it can leave an impression in the student that, well, maybe Srila Prabhupada said something which is not quite right and we don't want to discuss it. Or whatever the student may be thinking, it leaves him or her not equipped to defend these points if challenged by outsiders or even insiders. So if after doing the Bhakti Shastra course, major points, in as much as they are controversial, the kind of things that get people speaking, they're not dealt with. At the end of the course, if you're not equipped to defend that, then the course is very much incomplete. And then what do you say? Someone challenged and said, well, that's a controversial point, we don't want to discuss it. And they say, well, it's right here in the book that you just sold me. So what do you don't know yourself what the answer is, or you don't want to discuss it. Something else I object to is that devotees who join our movement under the guidance of certain preachers within our movement, certain groups within our movement, they're told that you have to read other books before you read Srila Prabhupada's books. Only when you get permission can you read Prabhupada's books. We're distributing Srila Prabhupada's books to the public, so maybe better you don't join and become a devotee, then you can read Prabhupada's books without having to be told you have to wait until you can read. When we tell you, then you can start reading. In the meantime, you have to read other books written by us. Which suggests that Srila Prabhupada's books can't be understood unless you go through someone else first. There may be some truth in that, because many of the topics therein are difficult to understand, but it certainly wasn't Srila Prabhupada's policy that you have to read other books before you read his books. And then also sanitizing, so to speak, Srila Prabhupada's statements by saying, well, Srila Prabhupada wrote all these heavy things, but he could say that. We can't understand what platform he's coming from. Well, the reason he wrote his books is to help us understand which platform he's coming from. If by reading Prabhupada's books we remain bewildered and unclear, or we think there's something non-understandable in that, then we're denying Srila Prabhupada's ability to communicate to the world, which is what he was doing by putting his books, by putting all these statements in his books. So just as Srila Prabhupada quotes in his introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, which is a classic work in itself, he quotes Arjuna saying to Krishna, Sarvam etad ritang manye yanmang vadisi Keshava. O Keshava, Krishna, I fully accept as truth everything you say. And Srila Prabhupada states that this is the attitude with which we should approach Bhagavad Gita. If we think that Krishna is just some ordinary person who's stating some opinion, pretty good philosopher, yeah, we'll have to think about that and think, yeah, maybe it's true. If we come with this kind of attitude, then we can't understand Bhagavad Gita. So in the same thing, if we have the same attitude, we're supposed to be followers of Srila Prabhupada. If we have the attitude that, well, Prabhupada, he said so many things, but we don't really have to believe them all, then what is the use of our studying? We won't get the benefit. Not that we read with an uncritical mind. We should read trying to understand. And Srila Prabhupada's books, as is the voice of Shastra, it's to trying to help us to understand. It's not like some Christian Bible or Islamic Quran where it just says, you just believe it, that's all. Blind faith. It doesn't call for blind faith, it calls for understanding. And Srila Prabhupada's books are unique in as much as they make this esoteric knowledge of Vedic wisdom, of reality, let's not use the term Vedic wisdom, of reality. They make it clear to understand even for people with no background in that culture. So read Srila Prabhupada's books, let Srila Prabhupada speak for himself what he has to say in his books. Let us try and understand that because we don't agree, we may not agree, or we're afraid that others may not agree with some things in the books. Then let us not minimize it or skim over it. Let us try to understand it. There are many controversial statements in Srila Prabhupada's books, controversial according to the outlook of the demoniac society today, which if we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we'll find that is undoubtedly Srila Prabhupada's main perspective on society today, the completely bewildered materialistic civilization he refers to. And why he says that? Well, we can open our eyes and see all around us that the materialistic civilization is completely bewildered. But he makes everything clear, point by point. And I have this experience, and no doubt all who read Srila Prabhupada's books repeatedly have this experience, that it's astonishingly clear and fresh and poignant. It goes right, it cuts through the false ego, false intelligence, mental speculations. It's so clearly factual and real and true. It speaks to our heart, we can say. I'm not saying in a sentimental way. It speaks to the the person, the Atma. This is Srila Prabhupada's writings. They present Krishna to us. We who are part and parcel of Krishna, Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. So these books, they link us with Krishna, which is what Bhakti Yoga means. Some personal experiences. I find reading the Sanskrit and the word for word very helpful. I used to skim over, but I don't. Mostly I don't nowadays. It does help to get a deeper understanding of the verse itself. And there's no end to the depth of understanding. Gita itself is so deep. We may think it is a preliminary study, and everyone will say, Srila Prabhupada himself said Bhagavad Gita is A, B, C, D, and Srimad Bhagavatam is further advanced. But then the Gita itself, there's so much there. So that's something I personally find very useful. One of the questions that Tapan Mishra Prabhu wanted me to, or he's sending out a set of questions to various members of this movement to reply to, how to fit it in, how to get time to read the books. Now that will be different for different people because everyone's life is structured differently. A lot of people don't get time due to the pressures of modern life. One solution is to cut out of modern life and go and join our farms. One of my disciples who was a brahmachari for many years, he told me, then later he married and moved to one of our farms, said that his sadhana is so much better than when he was in his brahmachari life because he was so busy in preaching activities. They'd have a full morning program, but he was very busy organizing, distributing books, and then having gone to the farm, he had so much more time for reading and studying. And not that the devotees on the farms are just sitting around doing nothing, but that's one solution. If modern life is squeezing you so hard that you don't have time for reading Prabhupada's books, then you have to think that, well, what's the point? What's the point of living like this? What is the point? Life is meant for self-realization. One should organize like one's life in such a way that one cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, Srila Prabhupada writes in Gita Purport. But the modern life is structured in such a way that that they'll take your attention away from Krishna for 24 hours a day. It's difficult to find time to squeeze in even for chanting rounds. What to speak of quality time for reading, and then you may, even if you get time, you're so tired and so many tensions in the mind. How to deal with this? I can say myself, I made time. I used to make time. I'll explain this a little bit. When I first joined this movement, they allowed me in the door. I heard from the devotees, reading is Maya. Yeah, that's what they used to tell us. You should just do service, and reading is an excuse to fall asleep. And actually, in one sense you could say that, because devotees generally didn't sleep more than 5 hours, and there's a lot of service to do, and generally when devotees sat down to read, they would fall asleep. See, so it's just an excuse to fall asleep. Fortunately, although I wasn't a rebellious brahmachari overall, but I didn't believe that reading is Maya, because reading Srila Prabhupada's books was the first time, especially, it was just like, oh, it's just like a man who's thirsty and dying from thirst, or just getting water and you just want to drink more and more, and every word speaks to the soul. I could feel I'm eternal and feel that this is something I've been waiting for. for lives, life, everything I've heard and thought about and seen up to this point in this life, and what to speak of previous lives, this is, it's all been misleading, and for the first time I'm getting reality. And every word resonated, and just amazing, going boing, going off in the mind at every second. This is amazing. So I really wanted to read. So I would go out for book distribution and sit in a park and take time to read. I wasn't supposed to do that. But still, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, my book scores were up in the upper section and not the lower section. I needed to do it. Just I was in Bhaktivedanta Manor. I used to skip a meal. It was the tastiest meal of the day, but I used to skip it because I thought I want extra time to read. Srila Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Goswami once that you should read my book. He said, what, for three hours a day, some two or three hours. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, well, I'm so busy, I don't have time. He said, well, you sleep less and eat less. He said, I'm only eating once a day and I'm only sleeping 4 hours a day. Anyway, you cut down and find more time. Srila Prabhupada told him. And that was to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who he was in constant personal association with Srila Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada said you should still find time to read. When I was temple president in Bangkok, and we had an average of about three or four devotees, so being a temple president wasn't one of the most prestigious positions in the movement. But it's hard to delegate work when you only have two or three devotees there. So town president means town president, pujari, cook, floor cleaner, guest receiver, and everything else. So the book distributor, accountant, and everything else. But I had a policy that every day from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, I would put a sign on the door, don't disturb, lock it from the inside, take the phone off the hook and read. And devotees going, bang, 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 bang. And they got used to the fact that I am not available. And I would read. And that kept me alive in what was a difficult situation. If you don't have time to read, here's something you can do. Find out on YouTube Keshav Bharati Goswami and listen to him reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Thank you very much, Maharaj, who's almost certainly not hearing this. But anyway, thank you. That's one way when you're traveling you can take advantage and listen to this. Nowadays, the question of not having enough time doesn't arise for me because I am in a privileged situation where I can, to a large extent, organize my life. And I have organized it around writing books, which means I can sit for hours every day when I'm more healthy, simply working on writing books, which mostly the books I write are based on compilations from Srila Prabhupada's writings. So in this way, although I haven't, well, especially for this book I've been working on for some time now, The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, I haven't been systematically reading Srila Prabhupada's books, but all day I'm reading. I have one subject. There's one subject I have to write on, Srila Prabhupada and book distribution. Then I have to find so many quotes and put them in order. And in this way, that's a relatively easy one. There's topics like understanding Srila Prabhupada, Varni and Vapa, so many different topics. So by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, who gave us all this knowledge, and the fact that I have been absorbing myself in these topics for year after year, I have a fairly good overall understanding of where I can find the quotes. So I take them out and string them, put them in order, from Srila Prabhupada's personal writings and then his letters, conversations, things that others have said about him. And I'm reading a lot about Srila Prabhupada also, things that devotees and non-devotees have written about him. For me, Srila Prabhupada's books and the knowledge therein, they are integral with my existence. Sarva me tadritang manye yang mang vadasi keishava. Everything that you say, Krishna, Arjuna said to Krishna, I accept as a fact. And on that basis, yatechasi tatha kuru, Arjuna agreed to do what Krishna wanted him to do. Arjuna got the choice from Krishna. You do what you like, but then having heard Krishna, there was no question in Arjuna's mind what he should do. Karishe vachanantava, I'll do what you say. So my existence is, Srila Prabhupada's books are integral with that. And they've also been the springboard for me to expand my research and understanding and interest in Vedic culture and philosophy from various sources, just like here in Tamil Nadu. If you're going to be preaching Krishna consciousness, then it is useful, to say the very least, to have some knowledge of the teachings of the South Indian Vaishnava Sampradayas and the history of the culture and the culture as it's presently working. So these books of Srila Prabhupada have also been the springboard for me to research in various fields. They open a vista to all kinds of everything. Srila Prabhupada himself writes that in Shastra we have the solutions to all societal problems, economic problems, psychological problems, political, everything. So really, Srila Prabhupada's books, apart from giving the knowledge that we need for our own spiritual advancement, they give us the clues by which we can further research and see the world and offer solutions to the problems of the world, just like Srila Prabhupada when he arrived one time in Hyderabad. There was a drought going on, and one reporter asked, journalist asked Srila Prabhupada, are you an Advaita philosopher or a Dvaita philosopher? And Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter. Anad bhavanti bhutani. There's a drought. Whether you're Dvaita or Advaita, you need to eat. And you need to eat, you need rain. There's no rain. You need parijanya, you need rain. And it actually happened that at that time, Srila Prabhupada, he came and his disciples came, and for the first time they were performing public sankirtan, and after 2 days, for the first time in about 2 years, there was copious rainfall, proving the point. Yagyad bhavati parajanyaha. From sankirtan comes rain. So Srila Prabhupada's books, they also form the basis for much further research, and one prime example of that was inaugurated by Srila Prabhupada himself in founding the Bhaktivedanta Institute, in which he wanted disciples of his who were trained in science especially and philosophy to take the teachings that Srila Prabhupada had presented, which are of course the teachings, the essence of the Vedas, Gita, Bhagavatam, these are the essence of the Vedas, and present this knowledge or approach people who are sworn to the scientific method and take your knowledge, take your learning in science and utilize that using the teachings of Shastra as the guideline to bring people around to understand that vidya bhagavatavadi, the ultimate limit of knowledge is to be found in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada's books, they give us all the knowledge we need to for our personal spiritual life, and they give us a template on which we can see everything in the world around us and see Krishna everywhere. Yo mam pashyati sarvatra sarvang cha mayi pashyati. Then, tajaham na pranashami, sachame na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, Krishna says, I am never lost to them and they are never lost to me. So we can venture into so many fields, seeing Krishna in everything and bringing people to Krishna. The motto of the Bhaktivedanta Institute is a verse from Bhagavatam. Idang hipungsas tapasas shutasya va svishtasya suptasya ca buddhidata yoho avichutarto kavibhya nirupita yadutama shloka gunarnavananam. That all endeavors in knowledge and austerity, intellectualism, art, science, Srila Prabhupada expands the meaning in this way, they should all be aimed at glorifying the most glorious Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the conclusion of persons who are actually learned. I, for giving initiation to devotees, generally, there may be cases of devotees who are illiterate, but I generally insist that they should read before they take initiation from me, at least Bhagavad Gita as it is, the Nectar of Devotion, and the first two cantos of Bhagavatam, with the understanding if they read this much, then they'll get a taste for reading and they'll go on and read. They'll make a habit of reading. And there have been devotees who just didn't want to, say, oh, okay, just then whenever you do, then you take initiation. And they wait and wait and wait, and they don't budge, and I don't budge, and eventually they budge and read, and said, now I understand why you want us to read the books. It opens up, your whole spiritual life opens up. There are devotees, so many devotees, they've been chanting, initiated for 10 years, 15 years. They never read Srila Prabhupada's books. And then if and when they start to do so, they think, why didn't I do so before? I'm missing so much. So why miss it? Ask yourself, what do you want? What is your aim in life? You want to go back home, back to Godhead. You want to become fully Krishna conscious. And Srila Prabhupada is making himself available to you. If you want to know me, read my books. This is Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are given by Shukdev, by Vyasadev, by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as the great help to help us go back to Godhead. It doesn't make sense if we say that, well, I want to be Krishna conscious, but I don't want to read the books. It's something like, I want to swim, but I don't want to get in the water. How will you learn to swim without getting in the water? It's ridiculous. Of course, there are devotees who are illiterate or they just don't have the habit of reading. If you can cultivate it, it's good, that habit. There's the famous quote of Srila Prabhupada in one purport, short purport. He said, all the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement must read all the books that have been published, especially Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion. If they don't do so, they'll simply eat and sleep and fall down. So that could apply to the movement as a whole. If we're not regularly linking up with Srila Prabhupada by reading his books, then individually and collectively, we're on a path to fall down. But as Srila Prabhupada indicated, it may be that not everyone has that taste for reading. But at least those who are bold enough to accept being initiated as brahmanas, a highly prestigious position, actually, then they should read the books. Otherwise, what's the point in being Brahminically initiated. If you don't read, you don't know, then we become Brahma Bandhus without ever having become Brahmanas. If you're in a Brahmana family and you don't study the Vedas or you don't act as a Brahmana, then you're known as a Brahmana Bandhu, a fallen Brahmana. But then if you become a fallen Brahmana without ever having been higher up. So please read the books, that's all. That's. I'm just giving a few insights. I'm enthused about it. I'm definitely enthused that all of you should do so. We're arranging this Gurukul so that the young boys can come, and the center of their curriculum, as Srila Prabhupada said, is his books. It's not the Sanskrit studies, actually. It's Srila Prabhupada's books. I hope you understand that. I wish you all the best for your life ahead of you with this tremendous knowledge which you're receiving in your youth. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Much, much more can be said, but the real thing is to open the book, read it, and make a regular habit of doing so. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Vanta kalpatra vyasya kripa sindhu vyasya patita nam pavane pyo vaishnavi pyo. Zoya's Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj ki jai.